Golden State Media Concepts bring you the Bible Study Podcast. Reflect and journey the Bible as together we study God's Word and be inspired. Bible study made fun and informative for all ages. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast.
Welcome to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, wishing you a happy first day of July. Happy Canada Day for any listeners who might be in Canada. I actually have a friend who has dual citizenship, Canada and the United States, so she gets to celebrate Canada Day today, and then the 4th of July, American Independence Day, on Wednesday. So I honestly don't know what goes on Canada Day, or if it's a big celebration or what. I should look into that. I just know that it's today. So if it's something that you celebrate, I hope you're having a fabulous time celebrating however you celebrate. I'll look into it. It's something that I need to know more about. So my neighbors to the north, I should know more about you. So I will look up and see what Canada Day is all about. At any rate, happy Canada Day if you're from Canada. Happy July 1st if you're not. Happy whatever other day might be going on in the world that I don't know about. At any rate, it is July 1st. We are now on the 6th Sunday after Pentecost, so we will be looking at the texts assigned for this week. We're still in that period of time when we have two assigned Old Testament texts for each week. So we'll be reading both and discussing both, which makes for, it makes up for when we weren't having any Old Testament texts during the Easter season when we were reading from the book of Acts. So our first Old Testament text this week comes to us from the book of Lamentations, a book that we don't often read much from, but it is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 33. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul that seeks him. It is good that one should wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for one to bear the yoke in youth, to sit alone in silence when the Lord has imposed it, to put one's mouth to the dust. There may yet be hope. To give one's cheek to the smiter and be filled with insults. For the Lord will not reject forever. Although he causes grief, he will have compassion according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For he does not willingly afflict or grieve anyone. Again, that is Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 33. And the first thing that I am struck by when I read these verses is the fact that this book is called Lamentations, and, you know, to lament is to cry out, is to, it's a little deeper than simply complaining, but, you know, to lament, to be frustrated, to cry out for help, to be upset by your current circumstances, whatever that might be. And so when I think of a book of Lamentations, I just think it's going to be heavy, it's going to be dark, it's going to be depressing, but there's actually a lot of hope in these texts. I mean, it starts out with the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. So that is, there's a lot of hope in those first two verses of this section. Let's get a little more context, though, for the book of Lamentations. Maybe you are very familiar with this Old Testament book, maybe you're not. So let's put it into a little bit more context. As I often do, I will turn to my study Bible for a little context, something that I encourage you to do as well when you are reading a book you might not be as familiar with, or even a book that you are familiar with, just to refresh your memory on the context of that book, the history of that book, when it was written, why it was written, etc. I will confess to you that I never remember where Lamentations is in the Old Testament. Thank goodness for tables of context contents and indices because I never remember where it is. It's actually in the section that contains the prophets, and it is between Jeremiah and Ezekiel. You're probably thinking, yeah, I already knew that. Thanks, lady. But maybe you're like me and you go, oh, that's where Lamentations is. I can never remember. That's my confession to you today. At any rate, the Book of Lamentations is a collection of five poems. All of them mourn the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians in 586 BCE, which explains right there why it's called Lamentations. I mean, five poems mourning the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. You have to remember, there's a lot to mourn with that. I mean, not only the destruction of the city, but the destruction of the temple, you know, the heart of worship, the deportation of so many people into exile in Babylon, where they were, you know, I mean, they were in exile. So this is a dark time. It is not a happy time in the history of Israel. And so it's understandable that they would write poems of lament. The writer of the poems was long believed to be the prophet Jeremiah, which then again makes sense as to why this book is after Jeremiah in the Old Testament. Believed to be the prophet Jeremiah probably because 2 Chronicles chapter 35 verse 25 mentions that his laments were recorded. 2 Chronicles, however, reports that Jeremiah mourned the death of King Josiah in 609 BCE, not the fall of Jerusalem. In the end, the author of Lamentations remains unknown. So there you go. What is the story? Well, the Hebrew alphabet guides the first four poems in Lamentations. They are 22 stanzas in each poem. 22 stanzas in each poem begin with consecutive Hebrew letters, forming what is called an acrostic. This does not happen in the fifth poem or chapter, although there are still 22 lines. The reason for using an acrostic pattern in the poem is unclear. It may signal completeness as the poet or writer laments from A to Z, or it may indicate the human need for form and pattern in times of grief. So what is the message of Lamentations? Well, the poet who wrote Lamentations was convinced that the Lord had brought about the devastating victory of the Babylonians over Jerusalem. The Lord had destroyed without mercy, and demolished and killed without pity, becoming like an enemy. The poet believed that the Lord could act in ways that did not demonstrate steadfast love and could not work good and bad. This was not in question for this writer. The Lord's silence in the face of the people's horrific suffering, however, launched these poems or laments. The writer cries out for the pain to stop, for God to ease the suffering and seek revenge on those human beings who brought destruction. The final poem ends on a note of uncertainty. God's mercy and future restoration are left in question. To us as readers, lament often sounds like despair, which can be interpreted sometimes as the opposite of faith. Yet Martin Luther taught us that it is precisely in places where we would least expect to find God, for instance, in suffering, in pain, disaster, catastrophe, and in the cross, that God is clearly present. Lamentations, then, does more than simply express despair. It shows us that in the most difficult of times and places, God is present and hears our desperate cries for help. So that is an introduction to the Book of Lamentations. I found it very helpful because when I see that word Lamentations, I expect a very heavy, very dreary, very depressing book. And there is a lot of that in here. I mean, obviously, five poems mourning the destruction of Jerusalem. That's not going to be cheery. It's not probably going to be easy reading. But it also, it's like when you're at your lowest, where else can you go but up? Where else can you turn to but God? So it leaves room. It leaves that opening. It leaves the door cracked for God, for God's love, God's hope, God's promises to come in. And I think we see that in the verses that we read today, because there were a lot of hope in those verses. We are going to talk a little bit more about those verses, but I do think it's time to take our first break of the podcast. When we come back, like I said, we'll be looking more closely at those specific verses that we read earlier. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
The GSMC Bible Study Podcast. We are speaking today about the text assigned for this week of July 1st, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Before the break, we read the assigned Old Testament text from Lamentations chapter 3, verses 22 through 33, and then did a brief bit of contextual study from the study Bible to see a little bit more about that book and its place in history and its form and content, etc. So now let's go ahead and turn to commentary specifically on these verses. And that commentary this week comes to us from Robert Hawk, who is the pastor at First and Franklin Presbyterian Church in Baltimore, Maryland. And he says that spring is the time when elementary school children learn about the life cycle of the butterfly. Okay. And he says that his son, who's 7 years old, was excited to report on the daily progress of a collection of painted lady butterflies stored in a classroom aquarium. The class studied the different stages of metamorphosis, from larva to caterpillar to pupa to butterfly. Finally, the day had arrived. The butterflies had emerged from their cocoons. Their wings were dry and fully extended. It was time to quote-unquote graduate this class of flying insects in the playground area of our downtown school. While we were not there to enjoy the moment, the pictures showed the children almost radiant with excitement, looking as if they felt something like awe in the presence of this dazzling insect perched on wrist or finger, watching as it prepared to launch itself into an emergent, still awakening world, a world not unlike their own. He says, "How inexpressible those pictures, how wondrously beautiful, how fleeting the beauty of the butterfly and the innocence of the child." In truth, those, he says, were not my thoughts as I looked at those pictures. They were my wife's thoughts as we drove through an intersection near our house. He says, it's not spring here. It always feels like winter. It's not a place where people are being born into wonder. Instead, this is one of the places where people, with opioid addictions, walk to and fro, the barely living confined to slender medians, their peripatetic journeys regulated by stoplights and traffic patterns, their bodies wasted, their eyes dimmed by the relentless damp demand of a chemical dependency. They ask for food, for money, for anything. Often they carry a sign made out of cardboard that speaks in the absence or inadequacy of speech. Homeless, anything helps, bless you. So he says, as we passed through this intersection, she was reminded of the pictures of elementary school children participating in a rite of spring. How different, and yet still someone's daughter, someone's brother. They were children once, she said. They were children who would laugh and be thrilled with something as simple as a butterfly. It's heartbreaking to think about it. But today, how different, how barren the reality of addiction to the experience of freedom and joy, and perhaps how strange. And then he quotes Lamentations 2:13b, "To what can I liken you? For vast as the sea is your ruin, who can heal you?" He says that in the Hebrew Bible, Lamentations has the title, "How." This is the first word of the poem. How lonely sits the city that once was full of people. How like a widow she has become. She that was great among the nations, she that was a princess among the provinces, has become a vassal. That is Lamentations 1:1, and that is some deep despair when you read how this book begins. It's in the Hebrew Bible, it's simply titled How, after that first word. So as a title, he says the word how vocalizes the sharp stab of grief evoked by this poem. The writer mourns not only what has become of Jerusalem, but perhaps especially the beauty that it was, the joy that it signified, the future that it promised. The poet grieves not only for a lost past, but for a lost future. And perhaps especially the poet grieves the God who now seems like a stranger. While the text assigned for the lectionary, while the 11 verses that we read today, speaks of the beginning of hope, it represents an interruption of this long poem of grief. Indeed, it is a strategic, even decisive interruption of this poem, as it declares that God's mercy is renewed every morning. But it begs the question, what sort of book is Lamentations? And we discussed that a bit. You know, he goes on to say that it is, as a poem, it talks about this catastrophic loss of the city of Jerusalem, for which there are really no adequate words. The writer employs the biblical language of lament, which we often find in the book of Psalms. We've talked about that. He talks about the fact that it is an acrostic. At least the first four are acrostics. The fifth one is not, but still has 22 lines. And so, you know, why is that? He speculates that it could be a meditation device, a way of reading these lines as a form of meditating on what is otherwise inexpressibly chaotic in ordinary language. So he says that the text that we read today, these 11 verses, marks a break from the collective and corporate loss of hope to a more personal and to that extent reflective exercise, which suggests the birth of hope amid suffering and loss. Its location in the middle of these poems of lament is not insignificant. Maybe it functions as a sign to the reader that while this rejection feels complete, it is not. Indeed, God's steadfast love still quickens the heart and the mind seeking wholeness. So this really gives us, I think, some great things to think about in terms of the Book of Lamentations. So we read the introduction from the Study Bible, so we know that there are five poems. They are mourning the loss of Jerusalem. They are mourning the exile of the Israelites to Babylon. We know that it is a book full of deep grief, of loss, of lament, and it is crying out to God. Crying out to God, why did this happen? Where are you? Did you cause this to happen? Did, you know, all of those questions that we have when we are in deep, dark despair. There are five chapters of Lamentations. It ends with Lamentations chapter 5, verse 18. So here we are pretty much smack in the middle, because we're reading from chapter 3, verses 22 through 33. Pretty much smack in the middle of this despair, of these five poems of just heartrending grief. And in the middle of this heartrending grief, what do we find? We find hope. We find suddenly a turning from the more corporate grief, the grief of this entire people, to a more personal reflection, a more personal meditation by the author of the poems, saying, you know what? God's mercies are new every day. God is present, even though we feel like we are in the darkest place of our lives, like everything is lost. The temple has been destroyed. Jerusalem has been destroyed. We, in fact, are in exile. God doesn't feel like God is anywhere. And yet, the poet is able to say the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. God's mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Notice it's the soul that is saying that. The Lord is my portion. Therefore, I will hope in God. Even when our minds are going 100 million miles an hour, just, I don't know if you can spiral. It's really easy when we are in despair, when we're in grief, when we are angry, sad, all of those negative emotions, those emotions can spiral, right? And we can find ourselves just constantly thinking, reliving all of the badness, everything that is going wrong, etc. And yet our soul, not our mind sometimes, our soul still hopefully recognizes that God's steadfast love never ceases, that God's mercies never come to an end. Even when our brains are spiraling and we can't seem to think of anything else, our soul still cries out to God, still reaches for God, even when our mind might reject God. And so this hope in the midst of the Book of Lamentations to me is truly amazing. It is the bright spot in the darkness, that bright spot that can lead you back to God. Even though it's surrounded on both sides by poems of lament, by words of despair, hope is at the center. And that's really true for our lives. Hope is at the center. Even when things are feeling awful, we can still hope in God. We can still trust in God's promises. So we are going to take our second break of the podcast. When we come back, we will turn to the second Old Testament text for the day. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching. Hey! The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. Again, we are reading the text assigned for this Sunday, July 1st, the week of this Sunday, July 1st, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. We have covered the reading from Lamentations, and now we will look at the alternate Old Testament text from Samuel. And I think in consideration of time, I'm going to read you this text. It's from 2 Samuel. It is chapter 1, verse 1, and then verses 17 through 27. And I'm going to read them, but we're not going to spend a lot of time on them. I don't know. I'm not feeling the 2 Samuel today. Sometimes texts speak to me and other times, I don't know, but I'm going to read them to you. And then if you want to look into them more, you certainly can, or we might come back to them on another podcast. But 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 and 17 through 27 are as follows. After the death of Saul, when David had returned from defeating the Amalekite, David remained 2 days in Ziklag. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and his son Jonathan. He ordered that the song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It is written in the book of Jashar. He said, "Your glory, O Israel, lies slain upon your high places. How the mighty have fallen! Tell it not in Gath, proclaim it not in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice. The daughters of the uncircumcised will exult. You mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor bounteous fields. For there the shield of the mighty was defiled, the shield of Saul anointed with oil no more. From the blood of the slain, from the fat of the mighty, the bow of Jonathan did not turn back, nor the sword of Saul return empty. Saul and Jonathan, beloved and lovely, in life and in death they were not divided. They were swifter than eagles, they were stronger than lions. O daughters of Israel, weep over Saul, who clothed you with crimson in luxury, who put ornaments of gold on your apparel. How the mighty have fallen in the midst of the battle. Jonathan lies slain upon your high places. I am distressed for you, my brother Jonathan. Greatly beloved were you to me. Your love to me was wonderful, passing the love of women. How the mighty have fallen, and the weapons of war have perished. So again, that's 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 1 and 17 through 27. Here again, we have a lament. David intoned this lamentation over Saul and Saul's son, Jonathan. And it's a lament, and it's heartbreaking to listen to the words of this loss. And, you know, he orders that this song of the bow be taught to the people of Judah. It was written down. And so David, as we know, is credited with writing many of the Psalms. So he is credited with being poetic. Makes sense then that he would write a lament of this magnitude, of this depth of feeling. There's a lot of what you would expect in grief here. You know, you kind of walk through the stages of guilt of grief in this lament. There's some anger. There's some, you know, there's obviously grief. I don't know if there's denial, but there's a lot of those stages of grief, and it's a hard text to read through, but, we did skip, 2 through 16, and, The commentary for this week says that the song does not encompass David's entire emotional outburst, after hearing the details of Saul's and Jonathan's death at the hands of the Amalekite messenger. David rips his clothes and begins to weep and fast for all of the fallen soldiers of Israel. And that's in 2 Samuel 1 verse 12, so one of the verses that we didn't read. He also confronts the Amalekite who followed Saul's own orders to end his misery, and David interrogates, "Were you not afraid to lift your hands to destroy the Lord's anointed?" David then orders his men to kill the messenger for this offense. So we skipped those verses, and there was a lot more despair in those verses. So 2 Samuel chapter 1, if you want to read more about this, definitely not the cheeriest or most uplifting of texts. I can see why it is the alternate text, but the alternate texts are moving through this story, the story of David. If you recall, a couple weeks ago on the podcast, it was talking about the people wanting a king and God appointing Saul, etc. And now it's just moving through this history of Saul and David and David's rise to power in his story, etc., etc. So that is the alternate reading for this week. Let's look now at the psalm assigned for today, and that is Psalm 30. It is all of Psalm 30, actually, so those verses are as follows. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up, and did not let my foes rejoice over me. O Lord my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you brought up my soul from Sheol, restored me to life from among those gone down to the pit. Sing praises to the Lord, O you his faithful ones, and give thanks to his holy name. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes in the morning. As for me, I said in my prosperity, I shall never be moved. By your favor, O Lord, you had established me as a strong mountain. You hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I cried, and to the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my death if I go down to the pit? Will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be gracious to me. O Lord, be my helper. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks. I will give thanks to you forever. So that is Psalm 30. A couple things that jump out at me. It feels like it goes back and forth a lot between this, oh my God, where are you? I need you. Why aren't you listening to me? What benefit to you will it be if I, you know, go down to the pit? Is the dust going to praise you? No. You need me. You need people to praise you. With this other side of, God, you know, I cried to you for help and you healed me. You brought my soul up from Sheol. But yeah, there's a lot of back and forth here of kind of highs and lows. One verse that may have sounded very familiar to you, it's probably the most familiar verse to me in this psalm, is verse 5. For his anger is but for a moment, his favor is for a lifetime. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning. That is a very popular phrase. Weeping may linger for the night, but joy comes with the morning, meaning that there is always hope. Kind of goes back to that Lamentations that we read, right? There is much, much weeping, but in the midst of that weeping, there is still hope. And we see that in the middle of all of those poems of lament. And so Psalm 30 frames the struggles of the life of faith within a glorious edifice, according to Carolyn J. Sharp, who is a professor of Hebrew Scriptures at Yale Divinity School in New Haven, Connecticut, within a glorious edifice, the Jerusalem Temple, which is a powerful cultural icon that narrates the faith of the believing community, the enduring presence of God, and the inviolability of God's promises to Israel. So she says that this psalm is ascribed to David, but it is also designated for the dedication of the temple. Since the dedication of the first temple took place under Solomon, you can read that in 1 Kings chapter 8, verse 63. In view here must be either the dedication of the second temple in 515 BCE, Ezra 6:16, or its rededication in the Maccabean era, which you can find in 1 Maccabees chapter 4. So she says the complexity here invites us to hear the psalm as a prophetic reflection on the fortunes of God's people from the early monarchy through the Persian period or even later. That explains those back and forths, right? Because history isn't just one thing or the other. History and the story of the Israelites is deep despair and trusting in God and everything in between. And so you get these different levels of joy, of sorrow, of grief, of despair, of all of those things. And so we are able to see the good news of God's mercy, even while we honor the reality that our lives often are bleak. And this goes back again to what we talked about with Lamentations, that even when we are maybe lifelong believers, or we are believers who have feel we are seasoned believers, you know, we've experienced a lot, we can still feel that despair. We can still experience the struggle of trusting God, of turning to God and not turning away from God. But we preach and we understand and we teach God's mercy, the good news of God's mercy, that hope of God's mercy, which is the light in our darkness and shows up even in the midst of spiritual bleakness, of the bleak reality of the world around us, of things that when we look around us at the world, when we watch the news, when we read the news, when we hear things that are going on in the world, we just feel like nothing is good. Nothing is going right. God, where are you and why have you forsaken us? And yet we can also know that God is there in the midst of all of that. All of those little glimmers of hope, all of those little glimmers of light in that darkness, that is God's love. That is God's mercy breaking through all the terrible things that happen in our world because of humans and the decisions that we make. So we proclaim God. We proclaim God's redemption, even in the darkness, even in the bleakness. And I think between the reading from Lamentations and this reading from Psalm 30 today, we really see that. We see that it is possible to have both, that even in the midst of our darkest dark, our deepest despair, our moments of just horrifying, debilitating grief, God is still there. We still have those tiny glimmers of hope, even if they're just, you know, 11 verses in the midst of five poems of despair and grief and anger and lament. God is there. God's hope is present. Even if we just catch a glimmer of it, it's still there. And that's all we need is a tiny glimmer to give us hope, to give us light in the darkness. Thank you so much for tuning in to the GSMC Bible Study Podcast. I hope you will join me again on Wednesday when I will be looking at the second half of the text assigned for this week, the New Testament texts assigned for this week, the sixth Sunday after Pentecost. Hope you're having a great week so far. If you are, you know, on vacation because it's the 4th of July week here in the States, enjoy that. Enjoy your time. If you, like me, are working this week, well, try to enjoy that as well. And I will see you on Wednesday. Thanks again. And how could I almost forgot. I mean, I always say remember at the end of each podcast, and then I almost forgot. So I need the reminder as well. No matter what you're doing this week, please, please, please remember that you are a beautiful and beloved child of God. Thank you.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Bible Study Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.